And she said to me, just ask Yahweh, he'll help you. Of course, that's the truth. But I'm still going to leave that alone for right now. I just won't mess with it. Because if I understand it's not fruitful, maybe he has to give me the wisdom to understand that. But it's a very profound thing. You will have to read it. You really would. That's the truth. Now, a lot of things when I read this book, Sister Dean, I don't understand. But the things he intends to be revealed to me, reveal them. For those things are important. You know, a child at 7 years old, at 3 years old, doesn't have to understand where the beef came from or the chicken. They don't understand that. All right, then. Thank you. They don't have to understand why the veggies are good for them. They don't like that, but they're still good for you. Even though I read it, still was good for me. Why? Because it makes me inquire into him. I can't understand that unless I have his spirit of unction or that understanding. And those are the seven spirits of Yahweh. One is understanding. It is one. It is one. Wisdom. Counsel. And one of the most profound ones is the fear of Yahweh. Don't have much of that today. We don't have much of that today. So the scripture says that these sons of Aaron, they did something out of the will of Yahweh. They touched those things they ought not to have touched. And that's why you touch things that you ought not to touch. And I'm telling you, my friends, I don't care who you are, brother, sister, enemy, foe, saint, unsaintly. You began to touch things that you ought not to touch. It is better, as I said to Brother Allen this morning, I say, Brother Allen, why don't we just learn how to be quiet? Be slow to speak and be quick to hear. Why don't we just learn that? If we can learn that virtue, then my, what a powerful spirit would we have. I said, before you even heard me, you began to speak because you exalted Allen or making known who Allen is. That's not the issue. We want to make known whom he is. I said, so brother, just don't talk so fast, son. I said, if you listen to me, if you really listen to me, you will understand what I'm saying. That is not just with Brother Allen. That's with every one of us. You do that. You do that. You think you know everything you don't know diddly. Don't know nothing. And so they died because they did something that Yahweh told them not to do. Paul says, mortify therefore the members which are upon the earth. He said, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of Yahweh come upon the children of disobedience. What is uncleanliness? Well, any way that your flesh or your natural mind takes you and drives you away from the truth of the Father, that's an unclean spirit. That's very unclean. I don't care who you are. It is unclean. He says for us to mortify or to make clean the deeds of our flesh upon the earth. A man has the power not to do certain things. He doesn't have to do this or that. If he has the will that is present, then he can do it. But if there's no will to do those righteous things, then he will do opposite of those things, my friend. And so the sons of Aaron, they died because they did not take heed to what the Father says. He spoke one thing to them. Don't bring a strange fire before me. And they did that. And they died. And they died. See, we count the long suffering of Yahweh's salvation. We think that he didn't show them grace back then, but he showed them grace. We think that grace is a new thing of a new dispensation. It was grace then. It was grace back then. It took faith back then. It has not changed. When he has started this hour, he has poured out his spirit. In a great way. In a more profound way than he ever done before. Those men that move, they move by the holy anointing of Yahweh. When John wrote, when Isaiah wrote, they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. And so, because of our hardness of our hearts and our sins, we think when he tells us something that he doesn't mean that. He means what he says. David said, I will bless his holy name, his precious name. He said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of Yahweh, just to go dance before. The scripture says, for us to praise him in dances in his name. In dances. We ought to do that. Or we see the Yiddish Jewish folks, how they dance and things of that nature. But we ought to praise him just that same way. We ought to dance to his glory and shout to him. So we think we may be getting by, but you're not getting by. The strange fire, those offerings, those things. And you get fire in your spirit, don't you? Ain't nobody like you that as far as you get. You're fired, gleaming. seen in your eyes, when it's not your way, when you don't perceive it's right for you. The prayer of the wicked is an abomination unto Yahweh. And even more so when he does it with a wicked heart. When you were unsaved, you were wicked. And your prayers were abominable unto Yahweh. When a man turned his heart on his truth, that's the only thing that makes a man free. And a man, you will know whether a man loves him because he will love his truth. He will love Yahweh's correcting, his purging. He will love the preaching because he knows that it keeps him in the faith by hearing the preaching. And that's why these folks like to do their own thing. They like to go their own way because they don't have faith. They don't have faith. I don't care what any of y'all say. Because you're not going to have faith unless you've been preached to. You have told them about the foolishness of preaching to save us. And it's going to take that. Now the scripture says in Numbers, turn there with me, Numbers chapter 20. Hallelujah. Numbers 20. Now this is Moses and the rock. I want to read this because it's a beautiful, detailed story of Yahweh. They have been wandering in the wilderness and the death of Miriam. It says in Numbers chapter 20. It says, then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there, and she was buried. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Now that's the heart of man. They gathered themselves together against the holy vessels, as even as Belshazzar did. He brought his congregation of evildoers, and he poured in the wines into the vessels of Yahweh. So they gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron, and the people chided with Moses. They argued against him, they disputed him, they fought against him with their words. I have sensed that lately. He said, the scripture said, they chode with Moses, and they spake, saying, what to God that we had died when our brother has died before Yahweh? They said, we wish we had just died. It would have been better off for us. Well, they should have died unto their lust and their lasciviousness, their sins, their concupiscence, their idolatry, their inordinate affections. They should have died to that. They say, we would have been better off if we were dead, and you would be better off if you would die to your flesh. Crucify it. And they said, and why have ye brought up the congregation of Yahweh into this wilderness? Now they knew he had brought them up, and yet they knew how they had been led into that place. They had cried for 425 years. And Yahweh heard their cries, and he sent a deliverer unto them. And you see the wickedness of their heart, a mighty thing had been done to a rebellious and wicked house. Yahweh sent a man of anointing before you, speak words of truth. And because he began to say, Yahweh, you're sure that he's a wicked man. No, you are wicked. You are wicked as hell. No, I'm still a righteous man. I still have the oracles of Yahweh, and I still preach His truth. And I won't deny that for any pervert, any child of hell. I still preach the truth. You think it made Moses of none effect because they tied with him? He was still Yahweh's servant. Moses just allowed them to get to him, and he went away from what Yahweh instructed him. And I'm not going to do that for any of you. And the last word of y'all can leave. Sister Robinson, all. What are you going to do? Well, I'll wait till my change comes. I may die early then. I may just pan away. Amen. But I know who my change is coming from. It's not coming from the Lord. And it ain't coming from God. It's coming from your way. It's coming from your. He said that you have brought us into the wilderness that we and our cattle should die there. Now therefore have we made us to come up out of Israel, to bring us into this evil place. You see, that's what they said about me. That's the letter what Tanya wrote on the internet. She would name all the folks, you know how they were meeting secretly and talking about the secret place. She named James Eflin, Teresa Eflin, Dot Rainey, Mother Rob. She named them all. She was just wicked. I wouldn't even done that. I got the letter over there on my desk. That's how folks are. She said, now, this place is evil. Now, this is a very evil place. And yet, Tony said that he did me right. But I'm an evil place now. The cowards. He said, brought us out of this evil place. It is no place of seed or of fig or of vines or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. And Moses said unto Aaron, and Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of Yahweh appeared unto them. My, you think that would make them repent, wouldn't it? That his glory appeared unto them. The folks saw that. And the scripture says, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, he said, do what I say, Moses, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together. Thou and Aaron, thy brother, and I speak unto the rock, and speak unto the rock. He just said, speak. Speak unto the rock before their eyes. Yahweh wanted to do something mighty there. He said, you speak unto the rock before their eyes. Did he not say that? And it shall give forth his water. His now, not it now, but his water. His, a person, his water, not it water, but his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink. Now Moses had fell, he and Aaron, before Yahweh. And he had put a Shekinah glory on them that they would have no doubt that when he spat to that rock, it would do just like the Father said. And the scripture said that Moses took the rod from before Yahweh as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. He called them rebellious people. He said, hear ye now, ye rebels. For rebelliousness is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. But he called them rebels. He said, you're a bunch of rebellious people. You rebel against my truth. You think that I haven't set this man in position? It wasn't you to set him. It wasn't you to establish him. It wasn't you to give him the oracles or the understanding. It didn't come from you, but it came from me. His glory, that when his face shone with my glory, it didn't come from you. He called them rebels. He said, hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? You sorry things, must we bring the water to you as well? And Moses lifted up his hand because of this rebellious house. He was so angry. And with the rod, he smote the rock twice. That was Yahshua there. And he was only smitten once. He didn't have to be smitten twice. And he smote that rock. And the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank, and the beast also. And Yahweh spoke unto Moses and Aaron. He said, because you believe me not, oh, I believe him, you are as wicked as they come. Help thou my unbelief, Father. They saw this mighty work. Moses had seen the face of the Father. He had seen his hind apart. The scripture says he looked upon him. He talked to him face to face as friends. And yet they did not believe the Father. They had just fell down in the congregation of the tabernacle. And his glory was upon them. What's wrong with us? We need help. You need him. You've had enough of you because you have made you a mess. You have made yourself righteous and righteous, stubborn and rebellious, a rebel, wicked, corrupt, think highly of yourself. He said, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, what you always said, if you just speak to this rock, they're going to know that it's me. He said, now make me sanctified in their eyes, that I'm a clean, pure Yahweh. I'm not like the heathen gods. And so he said, Moses, just speak. Only thing you had to say, rock, come forth. Heal the water. And I believe it would have came out even in a greater fashion than it did. And he smote it because of their wickedness, their sins, bearing on this prophet's back. He said, because you did not believe me to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore, ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. And the water of Meribah because the children of Israel strove with Yahweh, and he was sanctified in them. That's why the place was called that. He said, Moses, you're not going into that place that I promised them, because you didn't do what I said. Those songs you got to make 100, 99 and a half just won't do. And we think we're going to do it our way, my friends, but you're wrong. It's going to have to be done Yahweh's way. He told Moses to do it just that way. When he tell you to bless his name because his name is hallowed, he means for you to bless it. He brings us to this truth and understanding. He wants us to know his name. It's not Lord God. It's not Baal. It's Yahweh. That is his name. I don't care how your feelings, any of you, I don't care who you are. It makes no difference how you feel. If I was concerned about how you feel or losing one or two of you, that doesn't make no difference. Because Yahshua said that all these, they're in my Father's hand, and no man is able to pluck them out. And when one is in the truly in the Father's hand, no man is able to pluck them out of his hand. When they're truly there. And when a man is in the Father's hand, he will hear what the Spirit says. He will know what the Spirit is saying. And he will try the spirit of his own mind and see how corrupt it is. Anytime it's going on, your feeling is a corrupt spirit. Anytime it goes by emotion, it's corrupt. It must be revealed. It has to be revealed. All truth is revealed. It's truth, but it must be revealed, the power and the strength of it. And that's what he's doing is that what? Because he want to deal, what father? I don't know. I don't know what it feels like to be a father, naturally. I really don't, Saint. But what daddy doesn't want to deal with his sons and each one individually? He doesn't want to send an intermediary between his children. He wants to say, son, daughter, son. He wants him to say, Papa, Father, I love you. You are my daddy, Benny Honeycutt. He's not offended at that. See, that's what he wants to do from the beginning. He wanted. He did it with Adam. He's always wanted to do that with us because of our rebellion, because we're rebels and we're full of sin. So he said, judges, prophets, apostles, pastors, evangelists, teachers, to bring us into that law of perfection, that we understand the power of Yahshua Messiah. And only then we understand that, that we will be brought into that perfect law of perfection. You trying to condemn us? No. He came not into the world to condemn it, because the world was already condemned. You already condemned. I don't have to condemn you. If you condemn, if your heart condemn you, even Yahweh is greater than your heart. So if your heart condemn you, you're in trouble. You need to get on your face, cry unto him. That's what you need. So just that one offense, he said, you will not go into the promised land. Just one offense. Just one. Now we're going back to the beginning. That's why we need to go back to the beginning and understand. And we offend him in one way. See, we count his long suffering as salvation. We count it because he suffered long with us, even with that offense in our hearts against him. With them thoughts, those ideas. He suffered long, so we count it. And when he brings us to the knowledge that we're very grateful. And that's why we bless him and praise him and sanctify his name. Why? Because we say, Ma, if I died in that. Ah. And so he said, Moses, you're not going in. He said, you want the wicked and the righteous. That's what he said, both. He said, you want the wicked to turn away from his wicked ways. If you turn away from his wicked ways and do righteous, his wickedness will not remain anymore. But he said, the righteous man, now you warn him that he go back not to his wickedness. For if he turn against his, the righteousness to for wickedness, he said, I will lay a stumbling block. That's what he says, a stumbling block before him. And that's what you're always doing. They're not going to get to the Father. Anybody that put his hands at the plow and turn his back, they're not fit for the kingdom. And Satan has the mastery to demit their minds with all kinds of trinkets and things. He wants us to have a pure mind and a pure heart toward him. And the only way it's going to be done, that must be a purging and a cleansing. It's a process of reproving and rebuking. I bless him for that. I thank him. Amen. He puts the paddle to our backsides and give us a good fanning with the fire of us. Amen. Quickly here in 2 Samuel. Glory. And by the way, that King James Bible I had, that is the King James of originality. And that is where all King James have been translated from, that one. And believe me, those men that translated the King James, they were not holy men moved with unction. They were religious men. They were zealots. They were just men of theology, theologians. That's what they were. They were educated men. They didn't have the fire of Yahweh upon them. Not any of them. Even the scribes that were scribed, the scribes, it was known that every 1,560 words they made a mistake. There's no original text to Scripture. Everything we have is copied. and the scribes were copied. And so when the papyrus or the papers were worn where they couldn't read it, they would return them back, and the scribes would write that. And then they would learn their mistakes. And then they would correct their mistakes as they went along. That's how they did it. I tell you what, try to write 1,500 words and see how many mistakes you make in that, all right? There was no printing press. The printing press came in 1300 or 1400 when Gutenberg came out with the first printing press. It's called Gutenberg. And that was the first Bible, the Gutenberg Bible. You got the Great Bible, Tyndale, Wycliffe, and then you had King James. Quite a few before even that. So there's no original text. The last text they found in the Dead Sea Scroll. They said that was the last truly text they found of the original text. And yet his name is there. No, this didn't come from the house of Yahweh boys. His name, that Tetragrammaton, was there. YHWH. It was there. He has a name, saints. And I'm grateful to know him, too. Nothing like meaning a long-lost daddy you never know. That's what makes the heart rejoice. 2 Samuel chapter 6. I want to read a few verses here. As a matter of fact, I want to read 23 verses. Listen to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The scripture says in chapter 6, I want to show you something with David's mistake. And this is the mistake of many today because they will not receive the truth. Listen to this. We go back to the beginning. The scripture says in chapter 6 of 2 Samuel, and David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Bela to Judah to bring up from thence the ark of Yahweh, whose name is called by the name of the... I know what it says in that scripture. Now, does that make sense, really? He said, whose name is called the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubim. I'll read it the way it says it in that text. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubim. All right, we'll take that. If he's the Lord of hosts, what is his name then? What is his name? Now let me read the way it should read, all right? And David arose and went with all the people with him up from Baal Judah to bring from thence the ark of Yahweh, whose name is called, and his name is Yahweh of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. That's how it should read. And they set the ark of Yahweh upon a new cart. Now, it had to on a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab unto Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the son of Abinadab, drave, or they drove the cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was in Gibeah, accompanying the ark of Yahweh, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before Yahweh on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and psalteries and timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacor, threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of Yahweh to hold of it, for the ark shook it. And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Uzzah, and Yahweh smote him there for his error. He would have stayed that ark now. Uzzah knew he shouldn't have touched that. Now the scripture said for his error. That's what it says, right? For that little error, he smote him and killed him for his error. And there he died by the ark of Yahweh. And David, he didn't like that. The scripture said David was displeased. His anger now, look at what he did now, his foolishness. And David was displeased that Yahweh had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of Yahweh that day. And he said, how shall the ark of Yahweh come to me? So David would not remove the ark of Yahweh unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obededom, the Gittite, And the ark of Yahweh continued in the house of Abinadab the Gittite 3 months. And Yahweh blessed Abinadab and all his house. Look at this now. He knew the power of Yahweh was there. He's going to bless this house. If only 5 of y'all said he's going to bless it. He's going to bless this house. He is. He is. He's going to bless it with this house, with brothers and sisters. And we will have Pleme. He will. He will, son. He's going to bless his house. For his ark is here. I know his son, and his son is his ark of covenant with us. He has made the covenant with his son. Unto us. Glory, glory to the Lamb. And so it continued there for 3 months. And it was told King David, saying, Yahweh hath blessed the house of Ben-Hadad and all that pertained unto him because of the ark of Yahweh. So David went, and he brought up the ark of Yahweh out of the house of Abinadab into the city of David with gladness. Only then would he bring with gladness. With gladness. He brought up the ark with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of Yahweh had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings, and David danced. He danced before Yahweh. He danced, look now, with all his might. All his might. He danced with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of Yahweh with shouting and with the sound of trumpet. And the ark of Yahweh came into the city of David. Michael, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before Yahweh, and she despised him in her heart. She didn't do that today. They see someone saying, hallelujah! They despise in their heart. Why is she saying that? Why is she doing that? They're wicked. Hear them saying, Yahweh. Oh, David danced, he leaped. She despised him. She looked down and said, what a fool he is. That's what you all say. That's a rather stupid man. He didn't know what he's saying. She despised him. That's all right. It says she despised him, didn't it? She despised him in the heart. And they brought in the ark of Yahweh and set it in the place of the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings from before Yahweh. And as soon as David had made an end of an offering, burnt offerings and peace offering, he blessed the people in the name. He blessed the people in the name. He blessed the people in the name of Yahweh. That's what he blessed them in. And he dealt among all the people, even amongst the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as to the men, to everyone a cake of bread, and a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. And David returned to his household, and Michael, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel to this day, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaidens of his servant, as one of vain fellow, shameless, uncovering himself. And David said unto Michael, it was before Yahweh, which chose me before thy father, and before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of Yahweh, over Israel. Therefore I will play before him. He said, I don't care what you say, woman. I don't care how you perceive me. I'm going to dance before him. I'm going to sing. I'm going to act like a fool. He said, I'm going to play before him. And I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in my own sight of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of. Of them shall I be had in honor. He said, they're going to honor me because they know what I'm doing. Therefore, Micah, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. And there's a place where she said 5 children. But it says she had no children until the day of her death because of what she did. And that's why folks can't bear forth no fruit today, because they speak against that which you always ordained. It said, Micah, because of that, because of those little words now. See, you make yourself look like a fool, David. The scripture says she had no child until her death. That's what the scripture says. You either believe it or you don't believe it. It said she had no child until her death. It said Micah had no child until her death because she spoke to David. She despised what Yahweh was doing. You began to despise what Yahweh was doing. I'm telling you, the birth of His power, of His Spirit is not going to do all that. It's better for you just to be quiet. Don't say nothing. Don't even talk. I'd rather just be quiet and just, I wait on Him to show me, Father. And Micah began to talk. See, this is this king we serve. We don't know him this way. We think, oh, I could do. You're not going to get by. Yahweh, Paul said, be not deceived, you fools. Yahweh is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, shall he also reap. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you, that you have begotten in the spirit, and now you're going to perfect it in the flesh. He said, this persuasion, it didn't come from the Father. And she spoke a word that she ought not to speak. You're going to be judged by every idle word you speak, everything you say. She should have kept her mouth quiet and just sat there and looked at him. Ah, David, believe me, he threw off his royal robe and everything. He was a fool that day. He danced, he shouted. Why? Because he knew what Obed-Edom had happened to his house. He knew the blessings of Yahweh had overtaken that house. He saw what the Father had done. Not only did bless that house, but the whole household. Everything that appertained unto that man, his servants and all, they were blessed. His cattle of the field, they all were blessed. He was filled with much. In 3 months now. In 3 months. And when David, the word came to him, said, David, you better check out that was true. Why? He got upset because Uzzah was killed because he touched the ark of Yahweh. He shouldn't have touched that because he was an unclean thing, and he should not touch that. You should not touch those holy things you don't even know. You should just leave them alone and don't bother them and say, help me, Father. If you don't know how to pray all the way, just say, help me, Father, and hallowed be thy name. You shouldn't touch those things. And because she touched it, she was never able to bring forth birth. She was never able to bear the birth pains of your shore dwelling in you and living in you. She never had a child. She never had a child, what it says. Hallelujah. She didn't bring forth no spiritual birth. David said, that's all right. The handmaids and all, they will bless me for what I've done. Why? They will know that when Yahweh moves in a man, I don't care if he's a king or a subject. Whether he's rich or poor, whether he's white or black, whether he's Jew or Mexican, when Yahweh moves on the man, they all respond the same. They all, the congregation, all, they sang, they shouted. Yes, they did. They shouted, they played, with their sorceries and their timbrels, and they all danced, and they shouted and danced before Yahweh. David was saying, what you realize or not, but all the handmaids did what I did too. You just didn't see them. Sure they did. Glory to the Father. So, therefore, Michael, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. And that's what it says right there. She had no child. You will never bring forth spiritual birth. You will not. Oh, she was blessed to be in the king's house. You must understand what Saul had done with her. He had promised her to David. He had taken her, given her to another man. And David went and said, where's my wife? That's mine. That's what happened. He said, I want her. And even her husband, he went mourning. He went in the morning for what? He said, all right, you're right, go to David. But Saul had taken her from David because he despised David. And she despised her because she had the spirit of her daddy. As the mother saw the daughters, sure they are. But her mother despised y'all when the daughters were despising. Whatever spirit is birthed, yes, sir. Yes, wait, that's where you must be born again. You must be cleansed. So she had no children. You're not going to bring forth any spiritual birth in your soul. You're not going to bring forth any. No, he's not bringing us on a new way. He's bringing us the straight, narrow way, the right way. That's all he's doing. Don't you know 40 years he got that hard-headed folks out there and they still couldn't get him in the path? So he had to kill all the old heads and get them out of the way and just bring the young ones in. Sure. He called the young men because they're strong and they have overcome the wicked one. That's why he takes a young man like you, because you're strong. And he gives you power to overcome the wicked one. He called all because they know the way. So he set before you an elderly man, old enough to be your daddy, because he understands the way. He understands the way of flesh and sin. He understands the way of righteousness and life, son. That's why he tells the old women just to do what they should. Just teach the women how to be wives to the husband. Most of them don't know how to do that because they've never been wives. So they don't know how to teach them. So that's what he wants the young, older women to do, teach them. Show them how to be submissive and to honor your husband and to love them. Not in around here you walk around and smooching all on his lips and all hunky-dory. Not just the way you walk and the way you talk, sister. That will bring honor to his head because he's your head. You don't have much of very anything in the assembly today. Just a bunch of, just a mess. I can see why he said, just save yourself, son. Preach. And by this preaching, I save myself. I'm saving me. I'm saving me from you. And your words and your spirit. That I may be for the masses. Now I want to read this last. Yes, it's a little bit of reading. It's in 1 Kings. You all know this. I want to read it. Okay? I just want to read it. When I read it, you'll know you know it, all right? But it just shows you the severity and the goodness of Yahweh. It shows us that. When we disobey him, what won't us change? We take it very lightly when he says, when he tells us to do something. Yahshua gave us a parable that a father said to the son, he told one, you go do it. And he said, okay, I'll do it. Another said, I ain't doing it. Nicking with it. I ain't doing it. And the one who said he wouldn't do it, he went back. He was sorrowful. And he went and did what his father said. And the one who said he would do it, he didn't do it. And then he asked him which one he was right, which one justified. I suppose the one that did what he said. Huh? But Yahweh forgives a man for much. He loves him for much. He does. When you are so self-righteous, you think during the day because of your little day, well, I haven't done this, I haven't done that. But you're self-righteous. You've done worse than the next one. And you don't see anything to repent really of. So that's why there's no constant repentance in your heart. And that should be a constant thing in our mind. And our spirit just repent. The Father, cleanse me, wash me, purge my mind all day long. Because all day long you're inundated with unclean things and thoughts. How the enemy come on your mind? Sure he does. All day. I don't care what you say. That's why we need to keep our minds set upon him. If we keep our minds on him, he keeps us in perfect peace. Now the scripture says in 1 Kings chapter 13, let me move expeditiously. It said, behold, there came a man of Yahweh out of Judah by the word of Yahweh unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of Yahweh and said, O altar, altar, thus saith Yahweh, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which Yahweh has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be red, and the ashes they are upon, it shall be poured out. And the sign. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of Yahweh. Look at this. When the man just simply heard that, which he cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on me. And his hand which he put forth against him. Now look at this now. I want to start over. And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of Yahweh, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lo, lay, hold on me. And his hand which he put forth against him, it dried up, so that he could not pull it again to him. It dried up, and folks are drying up today because they put their hands to things and they ought not, they've touched the things that they ought not to touch. And they're drying up. And so he put his hand to the man of Yahweh, the prophet, and his hand dried up. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of Yahweh had given by the word of Yahweh. And the king answered and said unto the man of Yahweh, entreat now the face of Yahweh thy Elohim. And pray for me that my hand may be restored again. And the man of Yahweh besought the father. And the king's hand was restored him again. And it became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of Yahweh, come home with me. Now listen now. Now this mighty thing. Now this old prophet knew. This prophet, this man of Yahweh knew what Yahweh had told him. And so when the king put his hands on him, his hand dried up. And so the king was so elated, he said, please come home with me. Just come on. Come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. He said, nah, see, we know that the wicked put a reward or gift out of his bosom to prefer judgment. See, even that scripture was then, even though that it wasn't written, it was written. Because he is the one that writes all things. He says, and the man of Yahweh said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half of thy kingdom, half of thy house. I will not go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of Yahweh, saying, eat no bread nor drink water. Now, Yahweh told the man what to do. He told us not to touch the unclean things of this world. He told us to come out from this wicked generation. He said, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. Don't even go the way you came. Don't even go back that way. So he went another way. Now, he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now, that dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his son came and told him all the works of the man of Yahweh had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to his father. And their father said unto him, why? What way went he? For his son, seeing what way the man of Yahweh went, which came to Judah. And he said unto his son, saddle me an ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and he went after the man of Yahweh, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of Yahweh that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me, and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For this was said to me by the word of Yahweh, thou shalt not eat no bread nor drink water, there not turn again to go by the way that thou came. And look at what the father did. He gave the man a second witness. He said it unto to the king, and then he gave him a second witness, and he said it again. He said another man that he knew he should not have eaten there. And so that's what Yahweh's done. He's given you his word of the old and new, and then he sent the witness of his spirit. He said, I can't do that. He said, the Father spoke to me. Yahweh spoke to me. He said unto him, I'm a prophet also like thou. That's what men say. I'm a man like you. I can do that. I'm a woman like you. You're not going to tell me. That's this wicked generation. I'm a prophet. I'm spiritual. I know what the Spirit said. That's what they say today. That's what they say. I'm a prophet just like you, like thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word. Now he said, an angel spake unto him by the word of Yahweh, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. It told you he lied. And that prophet should have had enough discernment to discern that lie. If I'm lying unto you, if you got any spirit, you got to discern it and flee for your soul. And he lied to him. He flat out lied. If any prophet be deceived, you always put that deceitful spirit in him and the spirit of lying in him. So he lied to him. The scripture said he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in the house and drink. Now he said an angel, and yet the prophet got the word straight from Yahweh. And he said an angel of Yahweh came to him. The angel told him these words, that you come home with me. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word, see that, that the word of Yahweh came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of Yahweh that came from Judah, saying, thus saith Yahweh, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of Yahweh, and has not kept the commandment which Yahweh thy Elohim commanded thee, but came back and has eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which Yahweh did not say to thee, eat no bread, drink no water. Thy carcass shall not come up to the sepulchre of thy fathers. It came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way. That was Yahshua there. Killed him and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. And the lion also stood by it, by the carcass. And behold, the men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, is this the man of Yahweh whom disobeyed? See, that's what he did. He disobeyed. He was disobedient unto the word of Yahweh. Therefore, Yahweh hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him according to the word of Yahweh, which he spake unto him. So he's going to do everything that he has spoken unto us. That's not one jolt or one tittle is going to pass from the scripture here. So the man, because the prophet said, I'm a prophet just like you. I'm a brother like you. I'm a spiritual man just like you. And the scripture says, do one thing and you don't do what the scripture says, you're wrong. I will do what Yahweh, my Elohim, tells me to do. And he speaks from this today. He speaks from the scripture. And Satan knows that, so that's why he keeps you out of this. He keeps you out of this book here. He keeps you out of it. That's why you spend more time in everything but time with him. That's why he keeps you out of this. That's why he keeps you out of this book. Believe me. He keeps you out of this. Your flesh drunk. Your mind drunk. Your heart filled with lasciviousness and sin. And what he wants us to do is to show our love and affection toward him. So each one of those persons just once. And Yahweh, even Saul, he allowed him twice. And they all received their just recompense. Now how much more do you think is going to happen unto you if you're taking this precious son, Yahshua, and you're trotting him on the foot, you're smitting him again? What more do you think will happen to us? If judgment began here with us first, and if we are his seed and we just scarcely make it, what's going to happen to those that don't know him? You think he's playing around? You better learn this king of the scriptures. It's not this little emotional one that you think you know. Goes along with some of the feelings. No, that is your God. I preached many years ago how the emotion is going to destroy more folks in the hell. I can see that. I can see these things now. It's going to destroy more folks in the hell than anything because their emotions are their gods. Because of the way they feel and what they think. That's not what he wants. He puts a spirit in us, a spirit of truth. I said to the Father this morning, if I'm doing wrong, leading your people, please, Father, move out of the way, kill me. I want you to do that, Father. And that's my prayer. I want him to. And as I began to pray that prayer, what a strong strength of power filled my heart. Ah, yes. And I could pray for things that I hadn't prayed for then. Don't you know they called Yahshua, Beelzebub, chief of devils? So I know they, because he came preaching in his Father's name. He came preaching in the name of Yahweh. He went amongst Jews, and the Jews despised him. That's why they despise him today. They still detest him. He is still not loved by them. And we better not boast, saints. We've just been engrafted in. We're just so brash. We better not boast to think you got something. You better repent. I won't do anything against the Jewish folks. I won't do anything against any folks. There are white folks who believe that they are the tribes and they're the right ones, and there are black folks who believe the same thing. So I don't care about what they believe. I know what he says. And that's all that matters. I know what he says. And that's all that matters, what he says. And he made it in a way whereby we can understand it. He made it so we can understand it. And he gave, before Yahshua ascended, he descended. And he gave gifts unto men. That's what he did. Now, he didn't give those gifts unto women. He didn't give the woman the power to lead. No, he didn't. He didn't give a woman the power to teach doctrine anything. He didn't give her that power. He gave her power to submit unto that head that she may receive doctrine. That's where her beauty is, because she walked in the beauty of that doctrine and the beauty of that truth. And that's what this woman that he's coming before, she's going to walk in the beauty of that doctrine and the beauty of that truth, saints. And that's the truth. My prayer constantly is calm. I want to calm. I get tired sometimes. I get weary too. I do want him to come. I want him to come. I want him to come, so I really do. I do. I want him to come. I do. I want him to come. I want him to come. I've never seen such spirits today. I've seen betrayer, men say they love. I've never seen. There's one thing about love. Love is suffering that long. Isn't that something that this folks say they love Yahweh, they love me. And they'll go out there and they'll suffer. And they vex their soul daily with the filthy and wicked conversation of the wicked. And they can't even endure me and all of my wrong. Let it be. Everyone is left and they're right. I'm wrong. But it still shows that they have no love because they can endure. I'm wrong. I'm wrong with the name and everything. Let it be. Let the charge be against me. I receive it. I have no problem with that. Charity, love, suffering long. It thinketh no evil either. And rejoice not in iniquity. Glory. But that's all right. We'll find out who's right. I know who is right. He is. And I'm his son. I am his son. That's all that matters. I don't care what men say about me. I really don't. Blessed are you when men revile you and say all manner evil against you now. Not for his sake now, but for his sake now. Now do that against them because of his sake, then they'll bless you. So they just rejoice. You're going to find the answer to everything in Scripture. If you don't find it in Scripture now, sure. The most heathens love Christmas. They tell you Jesus is the reason for the season. Nah. For their season, Yahshua, in the Father's name, your way, came to reveal His glory, His character, His personality. And that we reveal that character in us today. I believe it. His name is everlasting. From the going down of the sun to the rising of the same. Yahweh's name is the same, and He's to be praised. And He has a name. And it's not Lord God. I'm glad He brought His truth and understanding to my heart. It's not Lord God. Too many lords. Daniel, if we take text for what it is, not the King James, the Daniel called Belshazzar Lord. Let me read this quickly, and we're going to go. You know, when I bought this Bible, the woman said to me, "That's yours, a big Bible." That's a big one, isn't it? That's a big one. I want to read this quickly. To writing. It's Daniel 5. Just listen to it. Daniel chapter. You need to read the entire text to understand this, all right? You really need to. It talks about how Belshazzar and how that. In the first verse, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to the thousands of his lords. Now, he spelled it L-O-R-D-S. And if you look up the word Lord, I don't care how you look it up, capital, whatever it means, the same. You look up the word God, capital, or small, it still means the same. He said, his lords, and they drink wine by the thousand. They call them lords, and yet he is the Lord too. They drinking wine out of the pure vessels of Yahweh. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and the princes and his wives and his concubines may drink thereof. And they brought the golden vessels and were taken out of the temple of the house of Yahweh, which was in Jerusalem. And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines, they drank in them. And they drank the wine and they praised the gods. Now, it's still God. That's capital G-O-D. It's not capital, but G-O-D, God. You look up, little G-O-D is still the same as capital G-O-D. I can say city all I want to. I can name it capital C-I-T-Y. That still doesn't mean it's New York. You got to say New York City, all right? He said, they drank wine. Look at what they did in verse 4. They drank wine and they praised the gods of gold, of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. And there came a handwriting on the wall that Yahweh began to write. Now, he couldn't understand it, so he called all these men to interpret that. Now, look at verse 17. It says here, then Daniel answered and said before the king, because the king said, any man that will interpret this, I will give him, he will be third in command, and I will put a gold chain about his neck. And I will tell the young people of the day, I say, don't you see that same spirit today amongst this heathen generation, these boys wearing these gold chains, all this gold around their neck? That's the God that they serve. These are gods. Whether you all believe that or not, you can be foolish and say, well, we know what God we're talking about. Yeah, they'd like you to pray like that too. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy reward to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thy king of the most high God. He said, O thy king of the most high, Yahweh gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. Now he said, Yahweh did that. Now look what he says in the next verse. He said, the father did that. He said, and for majesty that he gave him, he said, for majesty that he gave him, all people, nation, language, tremble and fear before him, whom he would slew now, and whom he would keep alive, and whom he would set up, and whom he would put down. So whatever Yahweh wants to do, he can do it. He can keep you alive, he can kill you, he can put you up, he can put you down. Then it said, but when his heart was lifted up, now that's what folks are there, lifted up. Heart lifted up. And his mind hard with pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And when he was driven from the sons of men, his heart was made like the beast. And he dwelt, and his dwelling was with the wild asses, and they fed him grass like oxen. And his body was wet with dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High Yahweh ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And look at what he says. He says, O thou son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thy heart, though thou knewest all this. He said, but thou hast lifted up thyself against Yahweh of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of the house unto thee, that thou and thy lords, now that's what he said, thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drank wine in them, and thou shouldest praise the gods of silver, gold, and brass, and wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear not, nor know, and the Yahweh whose hand thy and Yahweh in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, and thou hast not glorified. He said, you haven't even glorified Yahweh, but you praise all these other gods and these other strange beings and these other deities. He said, he's the one that put breath in you. He said, you haven't praised him. He said, that's all right. He said, I'll tell you what the handwriting says, all right. Just like he did to your daddy, he's going to do the same thing to you. And that's what he's going to do. Just like he's done to your forefathers, he's going to do the same thing to you. They were rebellious. They were stubborn. They were hard-headed. They were wicked. They were perverted. If he doesn't come, I don't know. We see the things that are transpiring, wars and rumors of wars. You remember what Yahshua said about that, right? That he earthquakes in dire places, wars, rumors of war. Then he said this. This is what? This is the beginning of sorrows. This is just the beginning. Oh, if this is the beginning, I would hate to see what the middle is going to look like. He said that's the beginning of sorrows. I thought about that. Those folks in Liberia, they're killing them by the thousands, just butchering them. That whole continent ravished with poverty and death. Sin. Whole continent, they're starving their babies. And this fat, greedy, wicked nation here. You think, I thought about that last night as I talked to the Father. I said, Father, we're so gullible. We think that there's no price to pay. But this nation is going to pay, saints. You don't have to believe it. White folks are going to pay. Black folks are going to pay. And white folks are not going to pay for what black folks have done. Black folks are not going to pay for what they're going to pay for their sins. That's why you better be a child of Yahweh. You better be born again by the Spirit. I'm telling you. You're going to pay. I don't care who you are. And that's why he suffered along with us. He said, you take this pure offering I'm giving, and you count it for naught. You put your hands on Yahshua and you spit on him. I won't do that. May Yahweh bless you. Good to see you, Elder. Good to see you again. Always good to see you. May Yahweh bless you. Keep your hearts. Let us stand to our feet. Bless you, Father, in all things. Yahweh, we bless you today in Yahshua's name. Go with thy people, I pray. Bless you all.